Great. Good morning, everybody. What a lovely time of worship. And so this morning, I actually want to just build on what Godfrey shared last week, Sunday. He was sharing about being filled of the Spirit. And how important isn't that for all of us as Christians, that we have to be Christians that don't just believe in the Holy Spirit, but we are actually filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so this morning, I'm hoping to really encourage us to walk with the Spirit. And I've heard some great testimonies throughout this week from last week, Sunday, and even Wednesday night. It was an incredible time of just the Holy Spirit talking to us as individuals. He talks to us as a church, but He also talks to us as individuals. And I do want to say off the cuff that it's not enough just to believe in the Holy Spirit. Whoa. Oh yeah, what did you just say? What do you mean with that? And so maybe, just drop my volume a little bit, please. I do want to say that it's not enough just to believe in the gifts of the Spirit. It's not enough to believe, or even to be part of a church that believes in the Spirit. And what I mean with that is, if you look at Scripture, you see so many churches that believed in these things. You actually, in one or two portions in Scripture, you see that the devil believes in the Holy Spirit. He believes that the devil believes that there is a God, there is a Holy Spirit, but even, and we know where he ends up and what he ends up doing. And so you read in the Word, in Galatians, in the book of Galatians, you read about the church in Galatia. That was a pumping church, so to speak. That was a church that, man, I would love to be a part of that church. They were miracles happening. There was a lot. There was much life in the church. People got saved. People gave their lives to the Lord. There was a real sense of a move of the Spirit. And so, in one sense, you see the church in Galatia is starting well. They're starting in the Spirit. And then Paul ends up writing to them, and I want to read that just now. But they end up drifting into the flesh. And how often is that the case for us as believers? We want to do the things of the Spirit, but it's so easy just to drift into the things of the flesh. And so this church in Galatia believed in the gifts of the Spirit. They believed in the Holy Spirit. They had a journey of faith. They were dependent on God. They were trusting the Holy Spirit in their everyday walk. But then you see something significant happen, where false teaching actually came into the church. Voices that came in externally from outside, coming in saying, listen, you need an add-on to your faith to the Lord. It's actually not enough just to say you believe in Christ. You have to work for it. And in some way, they drifted into kind of having a religious performance. And we read the Scripture, and I'm like, geez, guys, are you like, why did you do that? Why did you do that? Like, it's obvious. And so they drifted into this religious performance, almost in the sense of human effort as an add-on to the gospel. And so Paul writes to them, not because they rejected the church. Paul writes to them, not because they stopped gathering whenever the church met, but because subtly they moved from trusting in the Lord, depending on the Spirit, to trusting in themselves, having a confidence in themselves. And that's where I want to jump in Galatians chapter 3. Listen to this, verse 1 to 3. I'm actually quite curious to know what Paul's tone of voice was when he said this first part. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Imagine opening up a letter from Paul, and that's what you read. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human efforts? Sure. That's quite a heavy portion there, Paul. Can you maybe just tone it down for me there? Like, I thought we are to encourage one another, and now you're calling me, are you foolish, and who has bewitched you? And, you know, it's like, whoa, what do you mean? Paul understood something, that the walk with Christ is not meant to just start in the spirit and end in the flesh. It's actually to be started in the spirit and to be ended in the spirit as well. And I go, and maybe some of you go like, yeah, you see, you foolish Galatians, haha, you completely missed it. And we kind of look down upon them in many ways. But how often does that happen to us? Where we can be a part of that in many ways. Starting off in the spirit, and before you know it, you end up in the flesh, end up in human effort. And can I just say this one thing this morning, that it's so easy to drift into this. If we think that it's only the church in Galatia that could end up in that place, we might miss something that the Lord wants to do in us this morning. I've been here in this place more often than you think, drifting into the things of the flesh instead of the things of the spirit. And as a church, can we make sure that we are a church that ends in the spirit? Not just looking externally religious. I mean, this church, they were full of the things of God. But at the core, in their hearts, internally, I don't know if they were full of the spirit. Are you still with me? So, the title of my preach this morning is Drop the Handbrake. Drop the handbrake. And the scary thing about what we just read is we're not just talking about backsliding into sin, turning against God. I'm actually talking about the attitudes of our hearts. The very thing that only the Lord knows, you and the Lord. The things that when people look at you, they might look at you like, oh yeah, that guy's on fire Christian. I mean, I've heard it so many times. He's a groot Christian. Yeah, he's a big Christian. Meaning, I mean, he's really mature. He's really loving the Lord. He's really like someone that I can look up to. And my heart is that all of us can be groot Christene in this church. And all of us can mature and grow up in the very things of God and looking like Him, having the heart's attitude like Christ, and not just externally attending church. Whenever there's a gathering, I'm at the gathering. Whenever there's community, I'm there. Externally, we do the things of God, but internally, there's not a heart for Christ, really. You know what I mean? And so I want to say that it's one thing to believe that there is a Holy Spirit. It's the one thing to come on a Sunday morning and there's a moment where we can pray for people and they get filled with the Spirit and it's great. And perhaps they speak in tongues or whatever happens, whatever that fruit of the Spirit is, it's great. But what happens on Monday? What happens on Tuesday? What happens when your kids are sick? What happens when work is tough? What happens then? Are we then still in step with the Spirit? Or are we drifting in the flesh? And my heart for each one of us is that there is no handbrake on our walk with the Lord. Like as He moves, we move with Him. As He stops, we stop with Him. As He moves to the left, we move to the left with Him. As He moves to the right, we move to the right with Him. It's almost this beautiful dance with the Lord. Like, are you following or are you kicking against? Is there a handbrake? Where, man, you want to move forward in the things of God, but it's just not moving because this handbrake is up all the time. And I want to say to you this morning, let's drop the handbrake. Let's drop the handbrake. What is? Have you heard a car with his handbrake on and he's trying to move forward? Blackie? Maybe he's tried it before. Like, waiting, the revs are high, man. He's like, no. I don't know, maybe it's, you know where those areas are, where the guys are drag racing and all those type of things. And so it's almost like this car is ready to go, man. I've got my new tires on, the tank is full, the engine is running. All right. No. You know what I mean? But it's just not going anywhere. All it does is just making noise. It's just making noise. The revs are high. There's excitement. The wheels are spinning. Just not moving forward. You know what will end up happening? Because you're just making noise. You're actually not moving forward. And at some point, the clutch is going to go. Eh? I'm not a car expert. Eh? Blackie, you should correct me. But at some point, I'm guessing the clutch is probably going to go. Or I don't know. Something's going to break. I'm pretty sure about that at some point. You're going to run out of petrol. Yeah. But I believe for us as Christians, the Lord wants us to drop the handbrake. Not just make noise. Not just let the revs go high and let the wheels spin. And it's kind of this Christian facade that you put on. You say the right things, but are you actually moving forward with the Lord? Or are we just making noise? And so what is the handbrake? What is the handbrake? And Paul tells us that in Galatians chapter 5. Sure, this is a powerful passage of scripture in the whole chapter of Galatians 5, but I want to jump in from verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature, to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. You need to notice this morning, the Spirit and the flesh is in conflict with one another. You can't have both. You can't dip your toes in sin and dip your toes in the things of the kingdom and kind of, I've got best of both worlds. It's not how it works. I mean, recently we've been trying to eat healthy. It's so difficult. Anyway, but I don't like brown bread for some reason. I really just don't like it. But there's this one bread that's best of both. It's like brown bread, but it looks white. And I love it because it tastes like white bread, and it's kind of, I don't know if it is like brown bread, but it's best of both. And let me tell you, the things of the Spirit and the things of the flesh, you can't have a best of both. You need to choose. And so Paul writes to this church in Galatia, listen, watch out for the things of the flesh. And he mentions a whole bunch of things where, I mean, some of it's like things that I often do, actually. Getting angry, you know, some attitudes of the heart. And there's a whole bunch of things that he mentions. You can go and read it. And he says, if you keep on living that way, you won't actually inherit the kingdom of God. Shoo. That's quite heavy, Paul. Again, can't you just tone it down for us a bit here? Like, no. The standard of Jesus remains the same. And he doesn't say, you know, when you have one moment of anger, you're going to hell. That's not what he's saying. He says, if you live this way. So if you have a lifestyle of the flesh, I don't know if you're going to heaven. I don't know. It's not my call. The Lord knows. But I want to make sure that I'm on the right side of Him. That the day when He comes back, I want to be found in the Spirit. I want to be found in Him, not in the things of the flesh. So what is the handbrake? It's the flesh. What's the handbrake in your life? It's the flesh. It might be big sinful things with big consequences, but it might be small attitude of the heart that no one sees. It's that still flesh. Anything that's not Spirit is flesh. So, what is the handbrake that we need to drop today? The flesh. The only way we can move forward in the things of God is if we drop the flesh. If we drop the handbrake of the flesh, it keeps you back. You know, and I want to say that the Spirit actually wants us to move forward. You know that's God's heart for you this morning. And He wants you to move forward. He wants you to be where He is. He doesn't want you to stay at a place of bondage. He doesn't want you to stay at a place of frustration. But often we do end up feeling stuck, don't we? I've checked it out. There's like more than 70% of Christians at some point feel stuck in their walk with the Lord. More than 70%. And I'm not talking about a desert season where you just feel like, you get what I'm saying? Like stuck meaning, I don't know if the Lord is still there. I don't know if there is a God. I don't know. like stuck. Like this handbrake is so far up, I don't know if I'll ever be able to get it done. Type handbrake. I don't know if I'll ever be able to move forward. And there's a loss of, you lose hope so easily. This is more common than you think, actually. And there might be some of us this morning that feels that way. But there's life in the Spirit. So the Spirit wants to move us forward, and the flesh resists Him. The flesh will always fight against the things of the Spirit. And so this morning you can know that the Spirit wants to move you forward, but in the same thought, in the same as you sit here and think, the flesh is probably going, Yeah, but He doesn't know this. He doesn't know my context. He's not explaining this, but it's always like the flesh wants to contradict the things of the Spirit the whole time. And we end up resisting the work of the Spirit. We end up grieving, actually, the Spirit in many ways. Did you know that you can resist the Spirit? And the Bible is actually, I want to read this quickly, in Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When I hear the scripture of resisting the Spirit or grieving the Spirit, I think of the gifts of the Spirit. When someone prays in tongues, I'm like, no, I resist that. Or when someone brings a prophetic word, I'm like, no, I resist that. And you almost resist the fruit of the Spirit. But did you know that you can actually resist the person of the Spirit? So if He wants to do something within your heart and you say no, or not yet, it's like you're resisting the Spirit. It's not just about the gifts that you resist or grieve. It's actually the person of the Holy Spirit that we often want to just, okay, step aside. This is uncomfortable for me. Step aside. Because we're creatures of habit, aren't we? We want to kind of move in our space of comfort. So anything that the Holy Spirit comes and put His finger upon, you're like, whoa, no. It's uncomfortable. And we resist it. We resist. And the Lord is gracious and He gives us so many chances. But how do you know when that chance is not given to you again? There's often people in the Bible that didn't get a second chance. How do you know you've got it tomorrow? So there's a moment today. Do not resist the person of the Spirit, but to embrace the person of the Spirit. And I want Josh to just come up and share a brief testimony of what the Lord has been doing in his life recently. I asked him to just keep it brief, but there's something of what he's going to share this morning that ties up so beautifully with what I'm preaching about this morning, about not resisting what the Lord has done. And so this is a real thing. This is not just theory. At some point, all of us have to deal with this. So just listen to this.
Before I gave my life to God, I had a very damaging conversation with a friend that caused not only my heart to be callous towards the Holy Spirit, but also to belittle the Holy Spirit. And that made it easy for me to succumb to the desires of my flesh. And it even made me... It was easy for me to just go against the movements of the Holy Spirit and even judge those who prayed in tongues publicly. It made me cringe. It was an awful place, position my heart was in. I can go on and on how foolish I was to how I've been neglecting the Holy Spirit, but I think we just go to the good news because I've got a minute. last week at God's preach, I felt a stirring in my heart, but it was a discomfort. And I didn't know what was going on really, specifically, but I just felt I needed to go talk to an elder. And so I went to him, and as I opened my mouth, I immediately said, I have belittled the Holy Spirit and neglected Him. And with doing that, it just opened so many roots in my life. Things in my past that have actually severely damaged me and hurt me, and it caused me to not be able to walk in freedom because I would hide it. I would be ashamed of myself. But just allowing the Holy Spirit and believing in it and embracing it, I can't even fathom hiding anymore. This whole week has been a wild week. I've just been convicted, like I've had conviction after conviction after conviction because I've allowed the Holy Spirit in my life. And I no longer belittle it, and in fact I embrace it. I'm enjoying it. It's so wonderful. And so yeah, the handbrake, just the like deny your flesh. And just let him do the works. And walking accountability is the best way to do it. And I'm really enjoying walking accountability with all my elders now. And the freedom that comes with it is, it's invaluable. It's priceless.
So good. And so the flesh wants to wage war against the Spirit. I mean, we've talked about this in depth, and there's this tension all the time where, oh man, I know what the right thing is to do, but my flesh doesn't want to do it. Where do we go to? I was sharing earlier with the elders, you know, when Jesus was with his disciples, every now and then, Jesus would go off and go pray somewhere. And the disciples will go, oh, where's Jesus? I don't know where Jesus is. And then you'll find him praying, or you'll find him resting, or you'll find him doing things. And so, in one sense, Jesus wasn't with the disciples the whole time. He was there every now and then, and every now and then he'll go off. But then Jesus, before he ascended, said this thing, it's better for me to go. Whoa, why? What's better than Jesus? Well, nothing. Good answer. But the principle is this. He said, it's better for me to go because I'm giving you the Holy Spirit that's going to be in you. You realize what that means? Like the disciples had access to Jesus every now and then in the flesh, and then he'll rush off and do other things, and then Jesus is not around them. And that's why it's better for us that he has given us the Holy Spirit, because now we've got Jesus 24/7 with us. And so wherever you go, whatever challenge you are facing, whatever flesh you have to deny, Jesus is with you by his Spirit. And that's a beautiful truth, that he wants to be with us. But often there is a handbrake. And so just a few thoughts, and then I'll lead us into prayer. Thanks for sharing, Josh. That's so encouraging. And that's the reality. Flesh will keep you stuck. Flesh does not lead to freedom. It promises you freedom, but quietly it pulls up the handbrake. That's what flesh does. And this morning, and as the Lord has been leading us this whole week and past few weeks, it's kind of a theme, really, in the church as a whole, not just in us as a congregation, but the church as a whole, to get rid of sin, to throw it off. Paul is actually serious about it in many passages of Scripture where he says, run from your evil desires, flee from it, throw off. It's not a light suggestion. There's a seriousness about it as I read the letters of Paul where he says, run. Flee, throw it off, get rid of it. Because he knows what will happen if we don't. And so we need to get rid of our flesh. And this is how it happens. It starts with a small compromise. It starts with a small compromise. Let me tell you something about myself, and my wife is not allowed to share more detail than that. As I shared this morning. But I don't like spiders. Can I get an amen? But every now and then, I see a little spider in the room, and I'm like, ah, it doesn't bother me that much. I kind of just ignore it. It doesn't frighten me. It's a little spider. Just 1 foot on it, and it's dead. So I'm so powerful. That's not what I did. I'm just saying, that's how powerful I am in the situation, seeing a little spider. But I remember this one day where it wasn't that little. We were on holiday, and we decided, let's just have a braai. We're on holiday, let's braai a steak. And we go into this braai room, Remember that day, Liffy? And this big spider, and I mean, I'm not over-exaggerating, but it was really big. And I know my wife is an optometrist, but at that day, she couldn't see properly because it was really that big. She might disagree with me, but it was so big. And I look at this thing straight into the eyes, and he's looking at me. And I'm like, okay, now we've got a bit of a stare off here. And I think he's winning. And all I could do is like, there's no chance that I'm getting close to this thing. This thing is so big, and who knows? Anyway, so there's this bag of clothing pegs, you know? But vasgoed pennetjies. I'm like, I'm not even touching that thing with a broom because then it might jump onto me and my bit of my arm, and you know, who knows what can happen? That thing looks dangerous. So I was chucking vasgoed pennetjies at this spider, trying to just get it down, and then kind of hopefully it'll just disappear. But let me tell you, that spider probably started off like a little spider at some point. That little spider grew up becoming that. And in the same way, with those little compromises in our lives where, ah, this is not that big, I'm just going to ignore it for now, that thing will keep growing until that thing is like, whoa, this thing is going to eat me alive. And you can't just get rid of it by just chucking vasgoed pennetjies at it. It's just not going to disappear by itself. You have to get rid of it with force. And that's what compromise does in our lives, doesn't it? It starts small. But guess what? One compromise will lead to another. One compromise will lead to another. In James 1:15, it says, then after desire has conceived, so it talks about sin, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. And so sin will lead you to spiritual death that you won't even can comprehend. Sin will lead you to a path where you go, I don't know if I believe in God anymore. I don't know if the answer really is church anymore. Maybe it's something else. Maybe I should explore other avenues. Sin leads to death. Don't play with it. Don't entertain it. Get rid of it. And then my last point, just a thought that I would hopefully build something into us, is that the Spirit gives life. In the same way as the flesh drains life, the Spirit gives life. And so there's no neutral way this morning. You're either in the Spirit or you're in the flesh. John 6:63, listen to this. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. And I really believe that the Christian life isn't just to survive spiritually. We know we should resist the sin. We know we need to resist the spirit, not the spirit, sorry, the flesh. We know we need to resist the things of the flesh, but then we try and find a neutral ground because being in the Spirit is hard work. Being in the Spirit is hard work. Who loves waking up at 5 o'clock on a Friday morning to go pray? It's difficult. It's hard work. Who loves going to community where your kids are rowdy and sick? And who loves it? It's difficult. It's hard work. But it's constantly a fight between the flesh and the Spirit. But you need to know this truth, that the Spirit gives life. In a moment, it feels like, oh, my flesh is going to just give me so much more life in this moment. But every time I've made a decision to be in the Spirit, I'm always thankful that I have. Every time I actually get into my car and go to the community, every time I actually do wake up and spend time with the Lord, every time I do the things of the Spirit, I look back and I'm, thank you, Jesus, that I decided to do that. This is so life-giving. But at other times when I choose the flesh, the immediate feeling is, oh, this is great, this is freedom. But after a while, you look back and like, oh, why have I done that? Isn't that what sin does? Like Satan will come and lure you into sin, and it promises you the world until you do it, and then he goes like, why did you do that? Huh? Have you seen him do that? The scheme of the enemy. Spirit gives life. And so he wants us to be fruitful, to actually have evidence that we are in the Spirit. Not just in theory. We're not here to write the test and you need to give the right answers. No one's going to look at it. We're going to look at your lives and see if there's evidence that you are in the Spirit rather than giving the right answers. Is there evidence? Galatians 5 continues to, and it mentions the fruit of the Spirit. I know some of you have a song about the fruit of the Spirit to remember it, and I want to just read it this morning. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Have you actually slowed down enough to go through it and like, sure, Lord, is this what it means to be in the Spirit? Is this how a life looks like when you are filled with the Spirit, being in step with them? And then he continues, verse 24, those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, this is it, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You can't stay in step with the Spirit if your handbrake of flesh is on. Because the Lord is moving. The Lord is moving. And the handbrake of the flesh is on. There's no way that we'll be able to stay in step with the Spirit. It's almost this picture, and I'll end with this, and maybe you, Henry, you can join me up here. This picture of being close to Him. And I gave you this example of a dance. Us dancing with the Lord. It's staying in step. Who of you can soki? Can you guys soki? Maybe just come and show us quickly. They're getting married in a few months. So if you can, I'm serious. Just come in. There's no... I thought it, you wanted to do it now, but there's no music, but there's a sense of they are. Thank you, Shaul. Here we go. Thanks, Josh and Karina. Well done. Let's give him a hand for that. It's this beautiful picture of staying in step with one another. And as Karina followed Josh's leading, and with all the turns and the swirls and all the different things that the soki has, in the same way as Christians, we need to be in step with the Spirit. As He leads us, we want to be in step with them. What happens if you go against it? Like, you're going to fall. There's going to be some stepping on some toes. And then you resist what the Lord wants to do. But as Christians, can we drop the handbrake? Surrender to the leading of the Spirit. And Lord, You lead me into life. You lead me into what You want me to do. And I do want to say that this morning, you need to know that the Lord has more for us. The Lord has more for each one of you. If you are stuck with your handbrake on, stuck in sin, if you are stuck with habits of the flesh, the Lord has more freedom for you. The Lord has more intimacy with Him for you. The Lord has more fruitfulness for you. He has more sensitivity of His voice for you. But let's drop the handbrake.